This is The Film Effect with Tiff.
I want to go where culture is,
but
like New
York.
World
did I raise such
or at least
snob.
Connecticut or New Hampshire, really, where writers really live in the
get
woods.
Get into those schools anyway.
Mom.
You can't even pass your driver's test.
Because you wouldn't let me practice
the way
enough.
That you work, or the way that you don't work, you're not even worth state tuition, Christine.
My name is Lady Bird.
Well, actually, it's not, and it's ridiculous.
Call me Lady Bird like
Christine.
You said you would.
You should just go to City College. You know, with your work ethic, just go to City College and then to jail and then back to City College, and then maybe you'd learn to pull yourself up and not expect everybody to do everything.
I'm short, but I'm healthy.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Film Effect with Tiff. I have another great episode, an insane movie that I'm obsessed with now, which I kind of love to start, but if you are smart and you heard that opening, you might have guessed what we're doing today. That's right, Lady Bird. This is an amazing movie, and I have a really cool guest. This was one of her picks. Her name is Meg Gardner. Meg, say hello.
Hello, Tiff.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So Meg, tell me a little, if you want to do a little plug, say a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I live in Rehoboth, and I have been catering and doing events for years and years and years, and that's how I know and met you. My husband and I were partners in the Blue Moon Restaurant in Rehoboth, which is a Rehoboth icon, and we recently have left the Blue Moon and moved on, and I am now starting a catering business out of the Children's Beach House in Lewis with, you know, join their team, and the catering company will actually, the money raised will help their programs for their kids.
Awesome.
So it's a pretty great opportunity to kind of join all of the charity work I love to do and the event work that I do. And we'll still be doing on and off site weddings and high end catering parties and cocktail parties, weddings, dinners, all of the fun stuff.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah, you do a lot.
I do.
Yeah. And it's so funny. I have known you for a long time. I don't even remember when I first worked with you, but...
I don't know either. When I was coming on, I was like, when did we first work together and meet? You know, it's funny because my husband and I were so young when we met, and we have been married for almost 16 years.
Wow. That's
which
awesome.
Which is crazy. And we also worked together for so long.
Yeah.
And we would kind of go into work in the morning, and we would maybe like break for lunch, and we'd work through the night, and then maybe we'd go out and have a drink after work, and
that
was just our day.
Yeah, that says a lot that you guys can do all of that.
And now we're not doing that together, so it's kind of fun to like, we're having dinner together
yes.
as a family at the dinner table, and really just kind of like talking about our day, and we're interacting with different people, and it's like we're not...
It's like
we're learning
dating.
We're like learning new languages. It's crazy.
That's so cool.
But it's really exciting.
Well, thank you for being here. And man, this movie, I have to tell you, like I saw it when it came out. I actually saw it in the theater. And I actually think I saw it in New York in the theater. I think I was with Nicole. I was trying to remember when I actually saw it with her, and I couldn't pinpoint it. But it was a really amazing movie, and I love Greta Gerwig. I saw her in Frances Ha. Like, I know who she is, and I was just like, this movie's going to be great. And it's such a... I can't believe I haven't watched it since then. And then I found out, like I was telling you, my daughter Stella... Stella, you're always here. We're always talking about you. That she's watched it over and over and over again. I had no idea she was really connected to this film. But it's an interesting pick, and I wanted to ask... I know, like, you had a theme you wanted to bring up. So maybe tell me a little bit about, like, why...
I just thought, you know, I'm going through this big transition, and obviously we all are. As, but I feel I just had a daughter.
Yes.
So she is 6 months old as of yesterday. It's crazy time. I measure COVID and Greta time because I can't help it.
Yes. And Greta.
And Greta.
Right.
And
all
she's
of it.
Here.
It's
and
amazing.
So I feel and I grew up in a house with my mom, my grandmother, and for a little while my great grandmother, and
oh, wow.
only aunts. So the movie, even though the father is such a great character in the movie, and I think such a grounding character, that relationship between mother and daughter, I feel like, is so dynamic and something that I just thought, it's just, you know, you can just really see all of these levels of interpersonal, I don't know what, just going on. And you're like, you know, the pain and the joy.
All of it. And it just tore me up.
It gets me from so many different levels, you know, and I think there's something great. I of course you connect with Lady Bird.
Mm-hmm.
You can't help it.
No.
There's something that's so great about the time, like that early that 90s, 2000s, like, you
yes.
know, kids of the 90s going to college in the 2000s. And that's so, yeah, just the music.
Oh my God, everything.
The clothing, everything about it just really spoke to me, but especially that relationship between mother-daughter, because I feel like there was so much love there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that in movies. I feel like sometimes it's so black and white. Like the mother-daughter
yes.
relationship is just like, it's really great and it's all roses, or it's really terrible and this mother is doing a ton of damage to her daughter. And there's not that nuance, I feel like, that
yeah,
this movie
you
had.
Said the word nuance. Like, that is what, right from the get-go, and, like, here we already are in, because I've already asked you, and now we're like, this is what happens. Just follow along, people. Just stay with us. So what I'm going to do is, I do this every time for the people listening who are like, what are you talking about? I don't know what Lady Bird is. That doesn't even sound like anything. Okay, so here we go. It's not what you think. It's not about a bird. This movie was made in 2017. It is directed by Greta Gerwig. She also wrote the film. It stars, and I'm going to, please, do you know how to say her name? Saoirse.
Is it Saoirse?
I don't know. I'm so sorry. You're amazing. You're beautiful. You're talented. I'm murdering your name. Saoirse Ronan. Let's hope I said it right. Laurie Metcalf. Oh, my God. Tracy Letts. I'm not going to not include the father. That's Tracy Letts. His name is Tracy. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
I did not know that.
But I did know that Beanie Feldstein is in it.
That's
I'm
right.
I'm obsessed with her.
She's
so
awesome also. And Timothée Chalamet, of course. Of course. Mm-hmm. Everyone, like, either you love him or hate him. My kids will tell you. I can't stand him. I love him. He's amazing. Okay, whatever. I don't know what's going on. All right. So, and then Lucas Hedges. And there's a lot of other people. I actually love, you know, the nun, Lois Smith. There's this whole movie is like, all I could think of when I was watching it is there were, like, when I was that angsty teenager, you know, there were movies for me that I was like, oh my God, I want to be her. You know, like, I think yes. I was obsessed with Winona Ryder for, like, quite a while, and I wanted to be her. It was like Reality Bites, you know, like, all of these movies, I just was like, ugh, angsty. I want to be an angsty, like, somebody, you know. And I had that thing where I felt like, my life isn't angsty enough to be as cool as the people angsting in these films, you know?
Of course.
Right. And I even think there's a point in the movie where Lady Bird says that, where she, like, wishes for more angst,
you
know?
She does.
Yeah. And I think that's a teenage thing, too, where you kind of want to suffer in a way where it's, like, you know, visceral. And it's, like, you can just, like, you have a reason to be upset about something. But I was kind of like that. I didn't really have a good reason. And even though me and my mother did have not a totally similar kind of relationship, but the way this film, and this is what really blew me away from the moment it begins, it's just quick. It's like these little scenes, and there's no, like you said, it's just subtle. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's an interaction, it's boom, it's over, you know, and you don't even get, you just, like, it moves. Do you notice that?
And it's, well, yeah, it's that whole year, too. You know, that senior year of high school.
Oh, my God.
Is so, such a powerful, you know, year of growth and change and identity,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
questioning your identity. Who am I? Who do I want to be? Who do I want to be now? Who do I want to be later? I think there's something about the film and how the story is told that just really gets to the heart of that. And you just feel like you're dropped into it and then you're pulled out of it, but it really stays with you.
Yeah.
That opening scene, though, when they go from crying about the Grapes of Wrath to,
oh, the Grapes of Wrath.
You know, listening to that and they're so together on that, and you can just tell, like, oh, they're so alike. They're, you know, they're crying about this, listening to this book, and how beautiful of a mother-daughter relationship is that? And then a minute later, they're yelling at each other and fighting, and then she's getting out of the car. That was just so, that sense of, you know, how quickly things can escalate when you're that age and you have all of those feelings and you feel like I'm an adult and I'm not being taken seriously, and you know, and my mom's telling me something that I don't like, and mm-hmm. She's not necessarily right or wrong, or you know.
Yeah, no, you're right. Everything. And it's like I said, what's great about it, and I think what you're because you have your daughter's just little. I mean, I'm dealing with, I am right there right now. I've got a son who's a senior, and my daughter's in 10th grade, but I feel like it's kind of freaking me. It freaks me out when I watch a movie that like that, because I'm connecting to remembering and like connecting to what it was like to be Lady Bird, right? To be her age and to be feeling all of those exact things. And then also to be the mother. So it's this weird duality that I'm experiencing while I'm watching this movie, which is kind of making me nuts, because I'm emotional on all levels, where I'm like, oh my God, I so get this mother, even though I don't always approve of the way she's handling it. But that's her experience, and that's what it's like. You know, when you're a parent, you can't help the way you are sometimes. It's like frustrating, you know? And then your kid's like pointing it out to you. It's like, just wait, Meg, let me tell you.
So here's a question for you, Tiff.
Go for it. It's frustrating.
Because I did want to kind of get into this a little
bit. Yeah, no, let's go.
As a parent to older teens.
Yeah.
How do I say this? I guess what I'm trying to say is, do you find yourself like getting to that point with them quicker? Like getting, you know how?
Oh, like which point? Like
that point where you're just like about to tear your hair out. Like,
I've had moments like that, and I don't, you know, not a lot, because I try to be pretty understanding of like what they're, you know, going through. Yeah, but I have moments where I'm like, you know, like I mean, there's so many great speeches in this movie, or great scenes, I should say, where this what you're talking about just comes full force. I mean, the first one is the car scene, the opening, you know, the Grapes of Wrath in the car, and then they have that like way of talking to each other, which is very parent, child, teenage, like, you know, where they're saying stuff to you and you're like barely listening because you're trying to say stuff to them, and everybody's not being heard in a sense, mm-hmm. and then it just goes where it goes, and then it's over. You know, I think that's a really good example of what it's like sometimes, because you are so used to each other by the time you have a teenager that, like, you know they're not gonna. I don't know. There's that weird thing
they're
with family,
jump out of a car.
And you're the mother, right? But she does, which is awesome.
I guess what I mean is,
go ahead.
Do you find that there's almost this sense of like, you know, as a parent, they are going to leave soon? And so, because what I saw in that relationship was the mom knew, I don't have much time left, and I feel like she's not who I thought she was going to be.
Right.
Right. So the mom's dealing with like this weird sense of like disappointment, even though her daughter's so cool and amazing, but just this disappointment in, I don't like that decision. I don't like that dress. I don't like that. Just like nitpicking. And really, is that just a response to fear of the child like taking flight and going? Like,
I think that
this is what I did. That, like, could I have done better? Like, do you think it was any of that?
I think I think all of that, especially for her character, is mixed in, because this is like you said, she does have a son, right? So this isn't like her only child. However, there is the mother-daughter thing, which I think feels like that's at the core of this movie a little bit. You know, obviously the relationship between women and a mother and a daughter, which is a little different, I think, than mothers and sons, unless maybe it's your only child. I don't really know. I mean, I'd have to ask other people, but I do think in the story, we're watching this mother kind of grapple with that, you know. And listen, this is something I could really relate to on a personal level, because even though it's not exactly like it is, I mean, there's a lot of themes in this for me that I can connect to. I went to Catholic school. I know she gets thrust into Catholic school. I was trying to figure out, was she in Catholic school from the get-go, or was she put into Catholic school at some point? She's not really Catholic,
I couldn't figure that either.
It wasn't like she was born into this, like, situation, the way the other kids seem to respond to it.
I was wondering about religion in the movie too, because the family never, it never shows the family praying or...
Yeah, or even like Sunday mass, right. You know.
Whereas and I don't, Danny, mm-hmm. you get it.
My
know?
God, right?
So
poor situation.
I was wondering that about that too, but how she found sort of like peace in that at the end.
Yeah, that was
when
really
she
cool.
goes to the church. I thought that was a really beautiful way to kind of just say, this is a part of who I am.
Right.
Maybe it was a part that I fought, but this part I can take
yeah.
solace in.
And I think here, maybe we should walk through the story
I'm
a
sorry.
Little bit. No, it's okay. I sometimes, you know, listen, if you haven't watched this before you listen to this, I don't know what you're doing here, but thank you for joining us. You're welcome. But for me, because I'm the worst. I will jump all over the place and not know where I started.
Okay, so it starts at the beginning of the school
right,
year.
Right, but let me just finish my thought, sorry, on my personal feelings around the mother-daughter thing, just real quick. So my mom, so like I was never like a really over-the-top, you know, like I'm going to be different than my parent, you know. But I definitely was a creative kid, and I went through high school when I approached high school where I was like definitely not like what my parents wanted me to be like. You know, my parents were conservative. My mother my whole life wanted me to be super girly. And I was kind of in the middle of those two things, which was like, you know, what I am now, which is like no different really. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I don't want bows in my hair. And I don't like, I was like, you know, and my mom was like, just put it on, you know, let's paint your room pink. And like all, and I'm just kind of like, I don't want to do that. You know, I wanted to be me. And so I was always battling that with my mother a little bit, and my dad was kind of like the dad who was working and busy and like, oh, you and your mother, you know, like he was just dealing with us. So we didn't fight a lot, but I definitely felt that constant disapproval from my mother and that constant reminder that you're not what I would like you to be. Why can't you be a little more girly? Why can't you put on a skirt? Why can't you dress not like that? Why can't you tuck in your shirt? You know, I mean, it was always some criticism every day about something, and I just got very used to it. And that's kind of, I think, when you're talking about that opening scene, that kind of bickering that they have is so familiar to me, because it would, me and my mother could do that, and then we'd still be, like, fine. It was just, it was like I was used to it. It was like, I'm going to wear this shirt that you hate, and then you're just going to say you hate it, and then I'm going to be like, why do you hate it? And then it's like, oh, we love the song, you know? So, like, it yes. was definitely very familiar for me to have that shown in the film. But that's what I wanted to...
It's almost like,
yeah.
That is your language.
Yes, I get it. Yeah.
Like, that's how you communicate. This yeah. is how it's going to go.
Right, right. And but then my mother was also my biggest supporter and cheerleader. Mm-hmm. So she wasn't as extreme as the character in the film, who really, when she's really pushed too far from, you know, Christine Lady Bird's character, she will, cut her off. Mm-hmm. That my mother would never have done that.
Right.
She was always, like, wanting to connect with me, so she would have not done that. But there's so much in this that's so, I think a lot of people can relate to. Let's go. Let's walk through. So we open the Grapes of Wrath. They're driving. They have this, you just heard it, this bickering about, you know, all of it, where she wants to go to school. We're approaching the senior year. This is senior year stuff.
And
she's thinking about her future.
And they had been on a college tour.
Right.
So of course they're talking about it.
How come I didn't realize that?
Right? Isn't that right?
You're probably right.
I think so.
I kind of like wasn't paying attention the first 5 minutes on the rewatch, so sorry.
I remember going on the college tour with my mom. That was that was great. We went all over. I mean, so
how about you and your mom? Can I ask
me,
you?
Yeah, absolutely. It was interesting because we moved back in with my grandmother when I was like 2 or 3, mm-hmm. To my mom's childhood home. So the house that she grew up in is the house that I grew up in.
Wow.
And for a little while. And so after my grandfather passed, my mom got a divorce. My grandfather passed away. We moved in. So my whole childhood was really a two-parent family, but it was my mom and my grandmother.
Mm.
You know, so then you have all the dynamics of my mom and her mom. And, you know, there was a lot going
wow.
on there.
Yeah.
And I think for my mom, I think my mom felt like she was never good enough for my grandmother. Mm. So that was an interesting thing to kind of watch play out. with me, my mom was like my biggest fan. You know, so it was like, and she still is my biggest fan, my biggest cheerleader, you know, everything you do, you make great decisions, you know, she gave me a lot of autonomy early on. And because I was an only child, I sort of took that and ran with it. And I think as I got older, especially in high school, she really struggled with what I was talking about a few minutes ago, where she struggled with that. She's going to go soon and I need to start controlling this situation.
Oh, I see.
Because she's going to be gone and then I'm not going to get her back.
Wow. You know? Yeah.
And so I think that was that 16 to 18 time was really rough for us because she wanted me to do all the things that I wanted to do, but she didn't, it was almost like, wow, like she has her job. She has this, she has her life. Where do I fit into this? And will I ever fit in again? I think there was a lot of that.
Yeah. And as you know, just being a parent, even now, and wait till you're where I'm at, it's like you spend, you don't realize it. Your life becomes so much about them. Even if you have good boundaries and you're very good at, like, you know, all the things, if you're doing the best you can do at, like, being a mom and being there, but also stepping back and all the bullshit you have to deal with as they get older, it's like that pulling back a little bit, which feels hard. It still becomes such a huge part of the way you live your life that, like, suddenly to think, like, what? Now you're going to, wait a second. This is crazy. Like, now I'm just really used to this shit. Like, it took a while for me to get used to it. Now I'm here and I'm like, wait a minute, now this is what I'm used to. And your identity gets wrapped up in it. And I think that these movies like this, especially this one, it's like the way Laurie Metcalf plays this character is written so well. It's amazing that she was able to write this mother's character not being a mother yet, really I don't think she's a, like, there's no way she's a mother like this yet. So it's kind of interesting to me how well she did it, because it's really that nuance that you're talking about, which is just, you can't really put your finger on it, and it's not really fair for you to make it about you when it's time to be about them. But you're also dealing with your own identity crisis, which is like, what am I going to be now if I'm, because you still might have your job and your other roles, but this is the biggest role you play in your life, most likely.
And also, I think there's something to be said about the fact that her father was losing his job. And so that's like this underlying current where he's kind of the rock, but it's also he's going through this and the mom's reacting to that too. And I thought, wow, the brilliance of the film is they never just like sit down and hash all these things out. It's exactly what you said. It's like in 30-second bits.
Yeah, and it's more like real life, honestly.
It is so much more like real life. Like, you can be talking about one thing and then all of a sudden you're talking about money and your father's job, you know, or however it goes.
The way that gets revealed is like so quick and so, like, to me, like, so much like real life. It's got to be for some people. My mother's an over explainer and let's talk it out and all that, which just annoy the shit out of me. And I'll bring up one scene that just makes me think of is Lady Bird's in the bathroom and she's grappling with wanting to have sex, and she took a shower, whatever, and her mother needs to get in there, but she notices the pills. She knows her father's lost her job. She knows he's like kind of, he's trying, you know, he's whatever. There's like obviously some questions about, is dad depressed? I don't know. My father's always putting on this comedy face about things, probably. He kind of makes light of everything. He doesn't really show his emotion that much. And she sees the pills, and when she asks her mother actually, bluntly just answers it totally truthfully, which is like, yeah, your father's on medication, right? Like, he's been depressed. He's been that way for you. He's been taking those for years for depression. And it's like, okay. Like, she didn't know that.
And it's almost like, why didn't you know this?
And that's the end of the conversation.
Yes.
That's what you're talking about. Like, there's no follow-up about it. It's just, yes, that's what's happening. See ya. You know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that must happen a lot for people with their parents. Like, you're kind of like figuring out who you are, you're starting to notice who they are in their own lives. And it's all of this stuff is just swirling.
And when you're that age too, like your world takes up a lot of your perspective. You know, everything's like right in front of your face. What am I dealing with? Everything just feels so big. I just remember it feeling so like, if I don't make this right decision, then my life's going to be ruined.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like so much weight.
That drama of it all. And then just to kind of be dropped into like, right, you haven't noticed this? Or, and she hadn't.
No, and how could she?
And she wouldn't.
And she wasn't informed.
No.
No. But it's also her realizing, like, we make a joke in our house, I'll just say this, but like, because Nick's a therapist, you know, my wife's a therapist, so she knows a lot. But it's like, you know, listen, no, not to knock you teenagers, but you're just basically a bunch of narcissists. Like,
yes.
That's
yes.
What they are. You are, and you can't help it for kind of a while. Like, mm-hmm. They're only thinking about themselves. Everything wraps around them. It's all about their world, and forget about it. Like, mm-hmm. It's kind of annoying, but it is what it is. And you know they're going to grow out of it because you look back. And it makes you kind of like look back on yourself and feel bad for your parents. You're like, oh, shit, man. Sorry. Did I do that?
I say that to my mom about my 7-year-old, my almost 7-year-old, too. So, like,
yeah.
You know, did I get this mad about things?
Well, it's great that you
can. Did I get this frustrated?
Yeah, and you did probably.
Oh, I'm sure I did.
Yeah. It's the way it's like human beings.
But what I took from it.
Yeah.
Was I'm in this really safe, nurturing space where I think my mom, I could make any mistake in the world and my mom would still nurture and care for me. And she would have then.
Right.
I just put so much pressure on myself. That says more about who I was, about just that level of intensity. Like you have to do everything right all the time.
You did that to yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That's interesting. Yeah, they all just, and some of the things they do. Well, anyway, let's see, look where we are, guys. Sorry.
Welcome to the
Mom-Daughter Podcast. Come here to bitch about what it's like to be a mom or being a daughter of a mom, whatever works for you. We don't have to go through every part of the movie, but we're talking as we go. But like, she's in a coming of age story. It's her senior year. She's dealing with a lot of things. She's dealing with the pressure of that and realizing that she wants to, and she's very motivated. You know, Lady Bird wants to do things. She's like, I want to get out of here. I want to do this. I want to do that. It's very clear from the very beginning that she's got some passions or at least some interest in, flying out of here and doing some things. And she doesn't want to be stuck in the place she is. Yep. It's very clear. She's almost angry about it is what it feels like. You know, Sacramento is like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go to the city. She wants to go to New York. She wants to do all these things. Her mother obviously is not supporting that. I think that's about money and about. There's also a lot of themes in this movie, themes around class system.
Yes.
And like, the wrong side of the tracks was brought up, And that's an interesting thing, too. I don't know if I want to get too personal, but like. That I can understand. Like I was kind of I grew up in a way where I grew up with my dad. We moved from Pennsylvania to Maryland and my dad. So we started out like in a, pretty basic neighborhood and my dad got promoted. And so we went from kind of like, from like mediocre to like having more and more money, mm-hmm. which I didn't care about. And then it was just this weird thing. Cause then I moved to Maryland. I was in this neighborhood where there were all these like kind of like this town, like where you've got rich people and big houses. And then there's people like on the wrong side of the tracks. And I was the kind of kid who always was gravitating towards the opposite of what I was, So my mom would be upset that I was like hanging out with people living in certain areas. And like, suddenly it was this whole thing. And so that was a weird part of my upbringing where I kind of was like, money sucks, like if you become more judgmental, you become a part of a different group of people. And like, I was like, this is stupid. You know what I mean? And so I was the kid wearing all the thrift store clothes and like, it just made my mother absolutely crazy. I don't know. So anyway, I'm asking you I'm answering my own question for myself, but
I can,
how
I
do
can
you relate to that?
I definitely relate to it. We grew up in a like firmly middle class neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, we had the neighborhood I grew up in was like a post-war neighborhood where a bunch of people came to work at DuPont and different chemical plants and things like that. And they had these families there. And so all the families knew each other. Like,
wow.
Basically by the time I was 5 or 6, I could just leave on my bike, come back when the streetlights turned on.
Wow.
And my grandmother or my mom's friends would just kind of like say, as they were talking on the phone that day, I just saw Meg on her bike with Jesse and whoever else from the neighborhood. So my childhood, it was like, I didn't know anything different. It was so magical. I mean, we would just go there. There were train tracks. There was a creek. Like, that's we so just funny. Played outside all day. Then I went, when I was in middle school, I went to private school, and that was eye opening for me, because then all of a sudden I was like, now my grandmother used to do this really funny, like aspirational thing where she would say, we would drive around to neighborhoods and choose our houses if she won the lottery.
Which that's was like so familiar. In the movie, they go, remember when she is the bad, horrible, you know.
With her go, best friend, and they are looking at the houses.
Yeah, would they go and they go to open houses, which is just so, and her mom does it with her as like their Sunday activity.
Yep.
That's so crazy.
So I think, so that was interesting, because then I realized, okay, there's this whole other world of wealth. And that gives you access to all kinds of things that I had never had access to.
Yeah.
From clothes to cars to, you know, just life, like the way we, so one of the things that I loved about the movie was the sharing one bathroom, because that's what we did in my house.
Oh, wow.
So there were three women like sharing one bathroom, and just like the knocking on the door, all of that was just so, it just really took me right back. But then when I went to college, I went to a college, it was like a small liberal arts school.
Okay.
And again, so that's, then it's like another layer of wealth. And I remember talking to people in college, like freshman year, and them saying like, yeah, we're definitely middle class too. And then you would go to their house on like the Upper West Side of Manhattan and be like, this is not
you're like
middle
what?
Class.
What are they talking about?
Like, this is
what has happened.
This is not middle class. You know, and but it's all perspective. So that's something that I learned really, you know, early on, was there's, you know, if you have a lot and you've never seen less, then you probably think that you are middle class. And then, it, you know, where does that go for you?
It's so interesting, because it's so true. And it's like, until you're out of your bubble, you don't really, you know, you're only playing within that little bubble of where you are. And, you know, it's like wanting to fit in is such a struggle. I really, one thing I do relate to, and I feel like this for my kids now, and I don't think they express it so, you know, so what's the word? So like outwardly, you know, the way Lady Bird does her angst, you know, and she's so upfront and she's so blunt. This kind of like trying so hard to figure out where you fit, where you're at. You know, and she's comfortable in the beginning with her friends, her best friend, and you find to see that. But then you see her wanting to change and wanting to be, like, more cool, or, like, wanting to be with the cool guy. And, like, you know, all of this starts to happen to her, where she's trying to do all these things. She's not probably even sure why she's doing it. You know, we all kind of go through that. And what she has to do to kind of try to fit with those people is nasty. It's like icky, you know. Yeah. It's like, oh, man, you're going to do that.
And it's almost, it goes back to what you were saying, where she's almost mad about who she is or where she's from, or, you know, and then that anger gets kind of expressed to her best friend and to her mom and to this, and then it kind of comes back around.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's that. Yeah. I mean, the prom scene is like one of my favorite scenes.
Tell me. I was going to say, what's one of your favorite scenes? And there's probably a million, but
just
like,
because, you know, you see Timothy Chalamet, is that how you say his name?
Yes, I think that's correct.
Who's like, so he just seems like he is like a little like cherub god, right? Like he has like that amazing bone structure.
Fuck you, man. You really, he has this whole thing going on.
And
it's
like,
crazy.
He's just so cool. And he's sitting there, like, there's just so, like, the fact he's sitting there and reading the People's History of the United States, like, you know, and that's what he's reading the whole time in the movie. Every time you see him, he's reading that. I love that. But, you know, and obviously he's probably trying to be cool too, you know. But that scene where she finally comes to terms with it, when she's riding in the car and they decide, we don't want to go to prom. You know, she's finally with these cool kids, and
It's not what she thought
it was. And now she's not going to do what she wanted to do. And the fact that she had the sense of place and the sense of like who she was to say, nope, I want to do what I want to do. And I want you to drop me off
at
my best friend's house. And then we're going to have this amazing experience together, because that's the experience that I really wanted to have all along. But I had to take this journey to get there.
So it's like there's layers of the same theme, right? So she had to do that with her friendships and like that. And then also she does it with her mother. It's kind of like you've got to go through that to appreciate what you have. Mm-hmm. Which just takes growing up a little bit, you know? I mean,
it does. And the boys, I mean, you know, just that sense of just falling in love so fast and just getting, you know, just being so crazy about it, and all, you know, all of your emotions and all of your hormones are working together. And, you know, there's just that, I feel like she had to deal with that with Danny too, in mm-hmm. a little way. But she was so angry about him for, you know, so.
Newsflash.
Let's talk about what is actually happening.
Danny. Okay. So, yeah. So she gets interested in this kid, Danny. He's very cool. He's very he's a very likable kid.
He's so likable. And you think that's when she's kind of trying to be in the theater. So he's really good at that. And she sees that he's really good at it. And she's like, I want to attach myself to this person because he's so good at that. And then she's so in with the theater club, and her whole life is that for a few scenes. Mm-hmm. And then I guess it's at the after party, she sees
so bad.
Danny kissing another boy
in the bathroom stall,
like in another boy from the theater club too. And then she gets really mad. So it goes back to that anger.
Hurt. Yeah. She feels probably deceived.
Yes.
Right. And she's like, oh, you know.
But then I thought there was that great scene where they brought that back, and she maybe steps out of herself for a little while when he's like, he comes to her and he says,
that scene made me cry so much.
Oh my gosh. I was sobbing because he says to her, like, you don't understand what my life could be ruined if people find out, and please don't tell anybody. And then he's almost like, he was hyperventilating in a way,
Yeah. And cause the thing is, they really did connect, you know,
they did
have a connection, and they had this little short time where they were together and they really liked each other. And she was able to, you know, when you see somebody break down like that and you see their true nature, it's like, how can you not just, you know, they
get
knew each other. They kind
of
knew each other.
Well, and it goes back to that sense of all teenagers are narcissists. But then that was a moment where she was like, wait, this is bigger than me.
Right.
And her response was so compassionate and so honest. And I felt that, I mean, that scene just makes me cry and cry and cry, because you just feel like those are two teenagers who are, you know, dealing with identity issues and who am I, and, you know, the whole what the movie is about. Who am I? Who do I want to be? And then you have Danny never seems stressed the whole movie. Right. Like he was like happy, and he was
like a
one
poster
of seven
child.
Kids or something. And like, just, he sang the loudest at church and all of these things. But then you realize, like, oh my gosh, he had so much inner turmoil and just the pressure.
Yeah.
And
the stakes are
that.
Way higher for him.
Yeah. And I think she realized that.
Yeah.
And seeing that through her eyes, I think, was really powerful.
Yeah. And I think everything in the movie is like a little bit of like a wake up call for her. It's like, you know, you think you have it so hard, you know, look at this kid's life. You've really seen it, you know, the fancy house, the way he looks, the way he's got to show up, the Reagan country poster in the house. Like, this is a kid
folding
that just
the napkins
from these,
with
yes,
the grandmother.
Just from these subtle things they reveal about his life, you know instantly in that moment that if anyone's got to battle something hard and it's going to be terrifying and hard, that is the harder battle than her having to go home to her mother and deal with whatever crazy shit she's going to fly.
Yeah.
Because even though her mother gives her some shit, her mother is quite accepting. I mean, there's a lot of scenes where her mother shows up that she's very accepting. The scene where they go to the, you know, she lets her go to the guy, this, you know, his house for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Now they're all high in her kitchen.
Yep.
You know, it's so funny being a parent now, because I watch that scene and I'm like, man, she's fucking cool letting all those kids just eat her shit in the house, and they're all loud in the kitchen and like high. I'd be like, can you please go? Like, you guys are here. It's late. I'm tired. I have to work in the morning. Like,
get out of here.
Like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, I mean, that's where I go as a parent. I'm like, because I feel like, oh man, that's got to be kind of stressful.
And you also realize that she's supporting her son's girlfriend.
This is what I'm saying. And, you know, like Danny that, is
that was
not
so
going to.
Beautiful.
It is. And there's no way Danny's encountering that kind of, reactions to the things that he might have to bring up, you know, or the things he wants to be. And then it makes you wonder if he even wants to dress like he dresses, you know.
Of course.
This kid is really conformed to, you know, what is being put upon him. And that's awesome. Yeah, this is like, look how deep we go.
I know, because there was so many brilliant characters. And even though they're on the screen for a short period of time, a lot of them, I just felt like there's that great scene in the pool where she's with, I forget what her name is, but she's with like the wealthy cheerleader.
Oh, yes. Why do I want to say Jamie? Is it Jamie?
It might be.
I'm going to look it up. Hold on.
But she says, I'm right where I want to be. Like, I want to have kids here. I want them to go to my school. I want that. This is my life.
Yeah.
Like, I'm ready. This is where I want to be forever.
Yes. It's Jenna.
Jenna.
Of course.
Close.
It's a good one. No, and she's trying all of it out, you know. And like you said, the prom is really the epitome of that, where she's finally in with this group. She's going with this kid, even though it's not been great. It's very apparent that none of this feels good to her.
Yep.
You know. That's why, actually, can we discuss the sex scene?
Yes.
Let's talk about it.
So, to me, that was like, that was her almost play acting what she thought she wanted.
Right.
Right?
And it's sad because I think we all have to do that. You know, until you have that experience, there's a lot of firsts that you go through during this time. And you only have what you've got in your head.
Right.
And I think all kids are projecting what they think an experience like that is going to look like and feel like and be like. And so they almost become that. And that is such a part of what they bring to the experience that it almost takes over the experience. Right?
Yeah. And also just the fact that she, like, in that sex scene, there is no servicing her pleasure at all.
No, there's, the whole thing is just.
And it's really just, it's so quick and.
It's so weird. Yeah.
It's so weird. And then right after, when she's trying to make it something bigger, you can tell, like, she's trying to make it something bigger
than
it was. Yeah,
she like wants it to be like special.
And she's saying like, we just, you know, we're both virgins and now we're not anymore. And it's like, and then he just brings her down on that.
Yes.
And, oh, that was so painful. That was like so uncomfortable.
Was it hard for you? Yeah. Yeah.
It was uncomfortable for me because I feel like I've been there.
Oh yeah. Okay.
You know?
Yeah, me too. And I was going to say for me, sadly, I don't care. I share on here all the time. Like it's probably more true to my experience being that age than what some people have told me about their experiences.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I don't know how you got that like movie like experience. Mine was like a fucking mess. And like, that's so real to me.
Yes.
Because I can relate to that. And even when he's, and the line, my God, the line, right? That he says, you're going to have so much unspecial sex.
Yes.
In your life, which she does not want to hear. And, but it's fucking true.
It is true, but
sorry, for me it's true. I won't speak for you.
You can speak for me. I think that's a lot of women probably our age.
Well, listen, and I know I've been on both sides of it. Hello, you guys know. But so I do think that's true though. Like you don't hear that stuff in movies, you know?
And I think that the reality of just that moment where she's like, this guy is telling me this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and then the shame. You know, you could see all of this, like that, the highs and lows of that scene,
mm-hmm.
where she's just like so ashamed and just feeling like, what did I do? Why did I do this?
Yeah, that was a mistake. Bad idea.
You know?
Yeah.
And how do you make mistakes and then like move on from them? And how, you know, and that, and just, you know, I mean,
I know.
that sense of virginity and your first sexual experience, I feel like is so. I don't know how it is for kids now, but at the time it was so built up.
It's
it was
so
like
much
everything
pressure.
Everything that anyone talked about, all the time you talked about it. And yeah. you were almost like ticking off like who had sex and who didn't have sex. And there was just so much pressure.
It's like a ticking clock, you know, like a bomb coming at you. And it's funny because they, I think they precursor that with the scene with Jenna in the classroom. You know, so there is this push to just get it over with.
Yes.
You know, and to be a part of that group that's done it. You know, I felt that tremendously.
So
which
you can
was
just
like,
talk to your friends about it.
Yeah, like to have it literally over. Because I didn't want it out there and I didn't want it like, I didn't know when. And like, you don't know how to orchestrate that. And you don't want to be a slut, but you don't want to be. And it's all this stuff, right? It's all this pressure. So it felt like too much at some point, you know. And I think that when you see scenes like that, which felt very 80s movie to me as well.
Yes.
Wasn't she like right, just ripped right out of an 80s movie, this character Jenna? Like,
or... Do you remember
so
My
funny.
So-Called Life?
Yes.
That's what I kept thinking of when I was watching this movie.
Oh,
again,
yeah.
was just that sense of that angst and the pressure you put on yourself and, you know.
No, it's so true.
But how little, but in that time of your life, like how little you actually think about what you want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what you want is to have sex, but maybe like what you should want from that experience.
Is something else. But nobody's guiding you.
No.
And you can't really talk to your parents about it.
No, you can't.
I mean, some people can, but I still think it's awkward, you know. I could definitely not. I mean, I grew up Catholic, and it was like, don't do anything until you're married, like, or you're going to hell. I was like, great, thanks for the guidance. That's not going to help me at all. I was like, I'm now screwed for life. So it was just like...
Did you have siblings to talk to?
Well, my brother's 2 years. No, I had my friends
right.
who were like crazy and fast. And then I moved in middle school. And so then I was in public school and I was like, I don't know anything. I don't know anyone. And I was just lost, you know? So I was just taking in everything from my friend group, whoever that was at the time, which was always somebody that probably wasn't good at giving advice, to be honest, because they're the same as me. So I don't know. So it's funny, but, and I do think, you know, it's, and getting into this whole, like, watching this as a teen, because I'm sitting next to a teen watching it, and watching it as a mother. And, of course, they're like, he's such a dick. Eh. You know, he's perceived that way. And I do think he's cruel, but I do think it also shows how messed up he is and how sad he is.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like his angst is to hurt other people because he's so hurt, you know,
it's
and
like,
they say hurt people, right? Like, so I think he's really damaged kid.
And that like fake nonchalance.
Yeah.
Right? Like
yeah.
that sense of like, this doesn't matter. But then, you know, I mean, all of the characters in that movie have an inner life. So, you know, there's something going on there. You can just see that damage. I mean, I think I do. I think it's not just me projecting onto him.
No, I think every single one of them. You know, you talk about her best friend who just puts up with, you know, she's so wonderful and, like, just awesome. And I love the scene at the prom night where she shows up at her house. And what's the line? Like, she's crying. She's crying and she's like, why are you crying? And she's like, well, what does she say? Like, sometimes I'm just crying.
Sometimes I just cry. Or
yeah.
sometimes I'm just sad or something like that. And
yeah.
you're like, right.
And it's like she's really a suffering kid too.
Yep.
You know, she puts on the face and she makes jokes, but she's not. She's the same as you. You know.
And Lady Bird's just realizing that too. That sense of like, oh, she's not just like my sidekick who's up for anything and like always happy and always gonna do what I want her to do.
It's weird. I think kids do see other kids in these like kind of one-dimensional ways at this age. Especially I see that with like my 12-year-old, like she's, you know, my stepdaughter, she's at that age where they do. It's like, that's the so-and-so kid. This is the whatever kid. That's the, you know, it's very hard to see beyond what you decide that person is from the way they look, the way they dress and what word they said. If you don't know them, that's who they are. And like, it's just a way to kind of make sense of your friend groups or your environment. But it's so, as you get, you know, we're adults. So we know that's like, that's just one thing, you know.
Right. But then you also have to think about adult friendships.
It's interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
right. No.
I kind of, at the end of the movie, don't you just think, who is she today?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't help but think, like, can we have a sequel?
Yeah. Where's Lady Bird now?
Where Lady Bird is in today. So we see what her life is like.
That
and
would
see
be
her
cool.
friends. Because I feel like that one of the things she realized when she went to her friend on that prom night is, this is someone I want in my life.
Right. Right.
And like, this is someone I don't want to take for granted. Mm-hmm. Or I do want to take her for granted as a friend, but I don't want to walk all over her to take her for granted. And you just wonder about, you know, the deep female friendship that that started there and where it can go.
Yeah. And actually what I, in addition to that, what I see is she's coming back to choosing herself, because she goes through this wanting to please, wanting to be, trying to be outside of who she really is, because we kind of know who she is. And even though she doesn't know who she is, I think her mother kind of, even though doesn't like who she is, gets a pretty good idea of who she is sometimes. Sometimes she misses it. But I think Lady Bird's coming back to choosing, like, this is who I am.
Yeah. You know? I don't want to do this.
Yeah. I'm not that person. I'm not going to be that person. Yeah. And so I have to be me. And so these are the people that are me. The people that I was surrounded with in the first place were the true me. And I need to return to me.
So I have something to add to that, which is at the end when she entered. Yeah. So her name.
Yeah, let's talk about Lady Bird. What do you think about that? So that choice is so bizarre.
I love it.
Yeah.
Did you have an experience with any of your friends or anyone you knew who like changed their name when they went to college? Or
no.
That was really popular when I was in college.
Really?
Yes, people changed
their
names.
I don't know anybody who did that.
There was this like very dynamic, interesting, like old upperclassman who changed her name to Gemma.
Whoa.
And then there was, I actually had a roommate who had legally changed her name to Penny Lane.
My God, that's
so
crazy.
You wonder, like, that sense of like, I'm going to rename myself.
Yes.
And that is going to be the start of my new identity.
Yeah.
You know, I could feel and I could relate to. But I love it in that last scene when she's finally at college and she introduces herself as Christine.
Right.
That would go with what you're saying, which is like when she really, that prom scene, when she chooses, this is who I am. I'm going to be a friend. And this is, I want to go to prom and I don't want to be the kid that misses prom and skips out on
it. Yeah. I don't need to be with
those
people.
And I don't need to be like that nonchalant kid. I want to be all in.
Yeah.
I thought that sort of wrapped that up.
That was awesome. And I love, you know, and even just, you're talking about Lady Bird, like another, like they show these, you know, they show the qualities in the mother where she really does some hurtful things. Probably just because of her makeup, you know, and there's clues to it all the time. She's like, didn't you ever blah, blah, blah with your mother? And she's like, my mother was an abusive alcoholic. Close the door. I'm like, shit. Okay. Yeah. You know, like that's why she's the way she is. Okay. Why she can't say what she needs to say, why she can't communicate things clearly. There's obviously her experience, which prevented her from being so, you know, able to do that. And, but she does do what she does. Right. So, in the opening scene, you've got her going, call me Lady Bird. You said you would call me. But then you see the next scene and she's like, Lady Bird.
Yes.
So she's doing it. Okay. She is fucking doing it. How many parents would be like, I'm not calling you that, you know?
And the scene where they go shopping in the vintage store.
That's a great scene. That is such a scene about me and my mother that I can't, you know, my whole body was like, you know, that feeling of like, that's what you want to wear. Okay. Yep. I guess that's fine kind of thing. Like that was a lot of what I was going through with my mom with the clothing, but go ahead. You probably were going to say something else.
But then she fixed the dress.
Right.
You know, and it shows her like staying up all night with her sewing machine.
And that was that scene, that the nun says to her at the end, which is sometimes love is just care, like showing up and caring.
And caring.
Yeah.
And that's, I was thinking a lot about mentors in the film.
Like, okay,
did she have one? And that, and I kept going back to the nun because the nun is the one who said,
totally,
go into the theater, you know, and also she sort of got angry at the nun, right? When she decorated the nun's car.
That was so funny, by the way.
I mean,
oh my God. My Catholic people, are you with me? She's like, I laughed. She's like, I've been married to Jesus for a really long time. And I was thinking that. I'm like, they get married right away. She's been married forever. She didn't just marry Jesus.
She's not a newlywed. So, but I think that is the closest thing to a mentor she had.
Totally. And she was like forgiving and accepting and kind of like almost like a mother figure too, where she let her do it. She was like, it's okay, fine, do what you got to do.
And she had a
Make
sense
fun
of humor.
Of me.
She had the sense of humor that her mom didn't have.
Right.
You
she
know.
Did. God, where were you nuns when I, you know, it was funny. I was sitting with Stella and she's like, were nuns like that when you were in school? I'm like, no, not even a little bit. They were terrifying. They weren't nice. They scared the shit out of me and stuck me in the corner. Like I had a nun, there was no nun, but I have to say, I also didn't go to high school. So, I should
so they
ask,
put the nurturing
shout
nuns
out Donna Petrico. Tell me about high school nuns. Cause when I left my friends, actually some of my friends went to a Catholic high school and they would be able to answer that. But I did not know. My experience with nuns was that I didn't even see them beyond very one-dimensional, which was strict, mean, scary, and punishing. Sorry. The only cool teacher we had was a lay teacher, and she wasn't a nun. So,
okay.
But so the nuns freaked me out. Yeah. Well, you know, and I don't want to. I've talked a lot about Catholicism on this podcast because I talked about The Exorcist. I don't know why it keeps creeping into my world, but yeah, there's something about that too. When I was young, just seeing them and wondering what that was about all the time, just being like
wondering what
it's like to
married,
be a nun, and like why would you choose that, and then being like, what are they doing in there? You know, they used to go into the convent. You know, they go
like,
into
the
rectory.
Like, are there secret things happening? Are there?
And I'm like, do they smoke back there? Like, they got to do. They're human, right? Because it's almost like they weren't human beings.
Right. Right.
I'm like, they must. Like, do they wear? What are they? Because all you saw them in was in the habit, and the beads, the rosaries on the side, ching as they came down the hallway. You know, it was.
Did
like,
you ever see them without the habit on?
No. So it was very like. Weird. But yeah, so that was my experience. But that's why I was jealous. I was like, I wish I had a nun like that. Mm-hmm. She was fucking cool.
She was, and she was a huge champion
she
for
really
Lady
was.
Bird.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Don't we all need that when we're that age?
Wherever yeah, you know, you can get I wonder it. That. It's funny you bring this up because I really like think about my own kids and being teenagers, and you'll probably go through this a little bit. Like, they do start to separate from you, and they don't really want you to be there. I think sometimes they do, but there's definitely like a sense that, especially with my son, where I'm like, I hope he's got like a other
someone.
Person out there that's like influencing him in a positive way. I'm speaking to you teachers. Please be influencers. Please be mentors, because beyond just teaching them education, you know, and I know some teachers are doing this, but I really hope there's more of them, because it's so important for kids to have other people that aren't their family to connect to. And I think I've had a few influential teachers in my life that I did that with.
Yep.
And maybe only two, if I can really think of them, but like, I wish there would have been more. I would have loved to have a nun like that.
But two,
you know,
is all you need,
right,
to get where you were.
So
and I think about this a lot, just with, you know, mentoring kids. I've mentored kids at Cape Henlopen with the culinary and restaurant program there. And,
oh yeah.
And I think sometimes it's just, you know, access to a different way of thinking, or access to a different adult who's going to talk to them in a different way. Or
so true.
I always say it's access to opportunities. So like, maybe in talking to me, they'll realize that there are more opportunities than they realized before, you know, where there's a different path that they could take. It's just like opening doors instead of closing them.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really important to me. But on a personal note, with, you know, as being a mom, it's interesting because even this is like much younger, but when we were looking for a nanny for my son, who's now almost 7, I remember my brother-in-law said to me, you know, Meg, you don't need a replacement mom. You don't need a replacement dad. You don't need a replacement parent. What you need is someone who really gets to know your kid, really loves your kid, and really wants them to be the best that they can be and have, you know, the experience that they want to have. Mm-hmm. And that resonated with me so much. And so anytime we've looked for that, we've been very lucky to find two people who really, I feel like, will be in our kids' lives forever and will be in them in that kind of role, like the
awesome.
Mentor, you know, we have a big family, so obviously there are a lot of aunts and uncles who we'll rely on for that too. But I think, you know, closer to home, having those people that they can turn to talk to and feel like if there is ever something that they can't talk to me or their dad about, that they can talk to Merritt or Sarah
yeah.
about.
No, true. Yeah, it's very true. So we're like, we've talked a while, guys.
Have we really?
I could go on for like 3 more hours about this story. I'm just even thinking of like them sitting on one of my favorite scenes, them sitting on the floor eating the communion crackers, which is hilarious.
And they're cracking each other up.
Oh my God. So funny. I wish I could have done that. Maybe I should have gone to Catholic high school. Maybe I missed out on some shit. I really am like, man.
Maybe you could go back.
Let's do it. I'm going to go back.
You go back?
I can't wait to put on the outfit.
You could do like a...
Oh, shit.
You could do a photo project.
Oh, my God.
About
that's
Catholic
so creepy.
High school.
Oh, wow.
Or
that
what,
would be really
or
interesting, actually.
What happens with the nuns? You could really get in there.
I am, to this day, so curious about nuns still. It's so weird. That's what happened. But there, and so, like, what do you, I think one thing I read, I did read a little bit about this film. I'll kind of finish up with this. And I was wondering if this movie was, I know it's a little autobiographical for her. I know she did grow up in Sacramento. She did go to Catholic school. She did go to New York. I did read that she, that the relationships and things in this were pretty much made up. It's not like completely, you know, based on her own experience. Even though whenever you're writing anything, obviously you're throwing in your own shit because you can't even help it. But I would believe or assume. But I do think this movie is a love letter. She did say it's kind of a love letter to Sacramento and a love letter to, like, where you came from. Because that's what that scene is, I think, at the end with the church, is that when you're in a new place, like, your home is your home and you might think it sucks. You might be like, this town, I've been here, you know, I'm sick of that Dairy Queen, I'm sick of this. But the second you're out of it and you're having that uncomfortable space where you don't know where you fit, you will try to return to something that feels familiar. And I think the reason she walks into that Catholic church on that day is because it's the one thing that she can feel familiar in. It's like, you know what?
She's going to know the songs. She's going to know the process.
Yes, it's so familiar. And so, and it's so comforting
because
it's something that she just knows. And so in that moment, she returns to that thing and then also remembers really how much she really loves Sacramento. And then there's that moment where the nun even mentions that in her essay, how much she really cares about it. And that's what she says about the caring, right? So I'll let you comment on
that. But I think that's so true. In fact, when I was rewatching it, I remembered the last scene as her mom showing up, which I think is so interesting because her mom does not show up. You know?
I know that is a hard scene too.
But I thought, but it says a lot about, I think it says a lot about where the movie took me, you know, that she was comforted and as you said, she found that piece, like she found that piece of home to comfort her.
Yeah. And it was just there.
And she didn't need her mom there because her mom was with her in that place. Does that make sense?
No, totally.
And I mean, those the letters that her mom, you know, writes and then throws away because she's agonizing over it because she feels like I don't have the right word and Lady Bird's going to pick this apart with punctuation. And, you know, it says so much about how her mom thought about Lady Bird's just like her awareness and her intelligence. I think it really... That scene where she's reading the letters and you realize like, okay, like her mom was so worried that she wasn't smart enough to write this letter.
Yeah. She like, it reveals her vulnerability, which she was not able to show to her in person, you know? And I think that did the father send that, right?
Yes. The father hid it in her bag before she went away. He hid it in her bag.
This movie is just, I'm going to cry all over again.
I know.
It's so good. And actually, Meg, what's funny is I'm sure I'll still know you. I should bring you back when your kids are this age.
I love it.
And talk about this again because...
We'll watch it again.
No, yeah. And I think like it's such a journey. You know, listen, I don't know why I had kids. I think I just knew I had to have them, but I wasn't like aching to have children. I will admit that. Like I was just kind of like, I guess this is what people do. Have this and do this and have the kids. You know, but like what a crazy gift it has been to have these children. Like I have learned so much and like they just continue to teach me about life and about myself in a way that like nothing else. And I have to tell you, it has not been easy. It is not an easy lesson. Okay. It's something I tell people all the time when they have a baby, I say, you think you're going to have this baby? I say this shit to people. I'm so weird. I'm like, you think you're going to teach it all these things and make it learn and you're going to make it all these things. It is going to teach you so much about who you are. You have no fucking idea. That is what children do. And that is like, you should thank them because I think that's just what happens. It's just unbelievable. Yeah. And I didn't ask for it. And sometimes I hate it, But thank you guys, because I have changed as a person by having this experience and being this role. And I have to really look at myself daily. I mean, my kids hand it to me in ways that I'm just like, fuck, man, okay. And that's why I felt bad for her, the mom, sometimes, because you just don't, you know, when you take on the motherhood role, it's like, I'm doing things that I can't believe I just said. Yes. I'm like, and I hate when I do it.
And I hate myself for it.
Don't you? And yeah. You're like, oh, can I just be the cool aunt?
Or, yes. That's so interesting, because we were the cool aunt and uncle for so long, you know, because we were together so young, and then right. We sort of grew up together in a lot of ways. Yeah. And then we had kids. So we had Henry when we had already been married for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, so
I remember. Yeah.
And people would say to me, when are you having kids? And we're like, oh, I don't know if that's even in the cards, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like a mom.
It's crazy.
And that is, yeah, it's so mind blowing, because you're just like, wait, I'm a mom, and how, talk about identity crisis. Like, how does that fit into who else I've been? But you're right. I mean, I say to Henry every day, like, I am so glad you're here and you're you. I am so thankful that you're here. Like, I am so thankful, because I feel like I have changed so much.
Mm-hmm.
Now I get to see, I mean, you know, he's almost seven, so that's been really fun, because he was sort of an only child for so long, and we got to figure out who we were as a family then.
Mm-hmm.
And who I was, and really, like, you know, push me to really delve into some of my own.
It brings up stuff, everything. Yeah.
You know, and what kind of parent do I want to be? And what do I think my role is as a parent? And then having the new baby, it's like, oh my gosh, we're starting all over again with diapers and this and that, and like the late nights. And so you're like, what was I thinking? And then you see him reacting to her, and him being that big brother role. So he's at this point where he's redefining, you know,
life has changed too.
His identity is being redefined too. And it's just really powerful. And I feel so lucky and so blessed every day to have those kids in my life.
It's awesome.
And I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah.
And where they go and who they are. You know, we say to Greta every day, who are you going to be? Like, what are you going to like? What kind of music are you going to listen to?
I know. Well, it's such a weird thing. And like, I will tell you, it is funny. I'm in this place where I'm like, I didn't think I would start sounding like my mother. Like, I was joking, because like Duncan's hair is so long. And I'm totally...
You told me this.
Right. And I'm like, maybe just like cut off an inch or two. I'm like, shut up, Bonnie. Like, I'm like, what is that? That's not me. Like, who have I become? Like, it's weird what this thing does to you. I have to tell you. And, but then I have to just forgive my, you know, I constantly am just like, you're fine. It's okay. It's annoying. You're a mom. Like,
you
just
have to own your
yes,
stuff.
Yes.
And then you have to give yourself some grace. Like, the best advice I got...
Tell me,
right,
please.
Before
Let's
I
go.
Had Greta was... Meg, you give so many people in your life so much grace. Why don't you give yourself a little bit of it?
Yeah, you got to be super
and
kind
I was
to yourself.
Like, wow. That's so deep. And it was so simple, but it really sat with me. And you think about the mom in this movie.
Man.
And like, if she could have just given herself a little bit of grace, just a little, you know, like how maybe she wouldn't have been. Maybe she wouldn't have felt so much pressure. Yeah, maybe she wouldn't have stayed up late at night. Maybe, you know.
And I think a lot of that tactic is I do this too sometimes, not the way she does it, but like you're just, it looks like you're controlling or you're desperate or something, but really what you are is you're seeing yourself. This is what children do to you, is that every age they're at reminds you of the age you were at when they're at that age. So you see them and then suddenly you're like, oh yeah, I remember being 10. Oh shit. Like, so then it brings up, you're constantly reliving your own experience as you're watching them in their experience.
Who was I? What were my worries?
It just comes up. It's just like this weird thing. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're making it all about you all the time, but you can't help it because you're trying to relate to your kid. And you're kind of like, well, what was my experience at 10 or 12? And
well, you especially can't help it when they're teenagers.
Right. And you're thinking like, how did I deal with that? Mm-hmm. And how can I help them? And so there's a fear that comes in sometimes at this age. And especially, I think, around kids at that age where they're kind of just about to, like, you know, and you're just a little scared. You're, like, protective almost. But it can come off as all of these other things. And the kids only perceive it as that.
Controlling or nitpicking or any number of things.
Yep. Yes, and it's annoying because you're like, no. I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm just...
You're like, you're in 20 years, come back and talk to me, and then you will see it
in my
wedding.
I'm like, you're getting into a metal vehicle and driving it around, and you just can't even remember to put your clothes off the floor. Like, what has happened? Like, this isn't okay, all right? Like, I know who you are, but they're like, you know, and it is funny, I'm telling you. We're going to have you back on. Hopefully this podcast will still exist. If not, we'll just have coffee.
Love it. I would love it.
And you can come to me and maybe I'll be wise by then. I'll be like, don't worry, Meg. Ooh, I'll have some wisdom for you. But like, it's definitely a tough time for kids, for parents and kids. And this movie just knocked it out of the park. Like, I have to tell you guys, even if you're not a mother or daughter, watch this movie. Boys, you can enjoy this too, I think. Maybe fathers. I mean, it kind of is a girl movie. But I don't know. Any last words on this film? No, I think we've said a lot.
I think we've said it all.
Yeah.
Just watch it. It's so good.
It's so good. It's and just, Lady Bird will like
really
live in your soul.
It.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. I love it. All right, guys. Well, Meg, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, please. Maybe you'll come back.
Sure.
We'll do it.
Anytime.
Yes. Awesome.
We can talk about other Greta films.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of them now.
Yep.
Yeah, she's great. Greta, we love you. Keep making movies. Keep bringing that woman perspective in such a true fucking fashion, because we need it. And someday we will really be hopefully going to the movies more, even though it's COVID. All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining me. And please return next week with a brand new movie or an old movie, whatever I happen to find. But it'll be a good chat. So see you guys next time.